Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it a sign from the other side that her beloved dog was okay?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, why not share it with us? Call it in 855-853-4802 or write it in realghoststoriesonline.com. Then if you prefer to go commercial free, you can do that. And with that, you'll also get advanced episodes and access to the archive by becoming a premium subscriber. You can do it through Apple Podcasts. Try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon's here today. I'm just going to warn y'all, this is going to be a hard story for me to get through because what everyone other than Kathy doesn't realize that I had to stop and reread the intro.
Didn't even get through the intro.
I know. When I read this story, I wanted to do it with you because I knew that, you know my story with my dog. And here's the thing. I have shared this story about my dog on the podcast before. So, and a lot of people know, like, he was such a good boy, and I lost him a little over a year ago, and he was 16 and 7 months. And yes, I kept track of it by month at the end. We celebrated a birthday every month for 2 years and 7 months. I started that at 14. So this is like one of those get me in the heart stories. But at the same time, I was like, this is going to, like, I'm going to put everybody through hell with them trying to listen to me read this story. Well, but at the same time, I think it's pretty profound.
Yeah.
That this story should come to me. So I felt compelled and I'm like, I have to share this. So, okay, I'm going to do my best.
I'm here for you.
Thanks.
I'm here for you.
And Here's the other thing. If I have to edit something out, I will. And know that then no one will ever know.
Well, then when you blow your nose real hard, will you take that part out?
Yeah, because that's just nasty. Okay. And I am having allergy problems right now. Anyway, so I could just go, oh my God, my eyes are watering. It's my allergies. So I could do that too.
Okay.
So here's the story. It says, I have a few stories revolving around the paranormal that have happened to me and my family. I will be sharing those in the future, but for now, I want to share a story that's more on the heartwarming side of the paranormal. Growing up, we had a family dog named Britta. She was a beautiful Brittany Spaniel. She was a sweetheart and an old soul. Look, I'm already doing it.
Oh.
recording this is going to take like a day. Excuse me.
Okay,
I'm not laughing
about this story. I'm laughing about you.
I know, I'm a mess. So it says, excuse me, I'm an only child. So she and I grew very close over the years. She could be a bit of a wimp and terrified of thunderstorms, so we had a ritual. Whenever a storm came around, which is pretty often in the summer here in South Jersey, I would cover her in a blanket and hold her while she shook. You know, my buddy, when he was younger, he was so okay with storms, like nothing. 4th of July, nothing. Then when he hit about 9 or 10, oh my God, he was terrified.
It's so weird how that happens. Yeah. Like what it would be that would just change that
you know,
way.
My vet just one day out of the blue, it was one of his checkups. She said, how's he doing with thunderstorms these days? And I'm like, that's so random that you would ask, but he's not doing well with them. And then she said, I see this all the time with senior dogs.
Okay.
And maybe their hearing changes and, you know, their sight changes and all that.
Okay.
So I think this part's sweet. It says she also had a boyfriend down the street named Jack, an Irish terrier, and they would play in each other's backyards almost daily throughout their lives. Anytime Britta escaped, she'd run to Jack's house. She came to mean a great deal to my parents and me and our neighbor Christine, who owned Britta's friend Jack. Unfortunately, at age 10, Jack had kidney failure and had to be put to sleep. Britta was also getting into her older years by that time, and I could tell she lost some of her spark when Jack stopped coming around. I saw this video on Instagram the other day of these people that one of their friends said, I couldn't tell by the picture if they had enlarged a photograph or if they had painted it or drawn the picture of their dog who had just died, and they hung it on the wall, and their other dog was going berserk trying to get to that picture.
Oh.
It was the sweetest thing. Like, it was almost like he was seeing the dog.
Oh.
And it's so weird because dogs don't normally
notice
two-dimensional things like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just really sweet. So it says, at age 13, my beloved dog had begun to lose her sight and hearing as well as control of her legs. So we decided it would be best to put her to sleep and send her home. I will admit, I had the hardest time of the three of us. And the day before we took her in, I walked around the house crying. And of course, Britta would come up to me wagging her tail and panting, trying her best to comfort me, which only made it worse.
Oh, gotcha.
Totally get it. See, look, I'm getting teary-eyed right now. I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about her.
I get it.
Mm. It gets worse, then it gets better. So the vet visit was one of the hardest things I've had to do in my 27 years so far. I made sure she saw me in the room with her and that my mom was going to stay with her till it was over. But when the doctor, I don't want to even read that part, I quietly left the room. I couldn't bear to watch her slip away. I ran out of the office like a madwoman in complete hysterics. I think I scared the receptionist. I had always been her friend and her protector. Now I had no idea where she was or if she was scared and I could no longer help her. You know, and I do, I could never judge anyone who can't be there for that. It's hard, but I also get scaring the receptionist too. I think I did that. Doubled over in tears in the vet's parking lot, I prayed for Jack to please come and take her home so she wouldn't be scared for even a moment. So I love that idea of knowing that she had a pet friend that was already on the other side. And, you know, and I definitely believe that. So I think that's sweet. I don't want to read that next thing. It says it was beautiful. I'm being choosing what I'm reading here now. It's just too deep. It says, it was a beautiful summer day when we laid her to rest in a peaceful spot in our backyard. A few hours after her burial, our neighbor and Jack's mom, Christine, came over to see how we were doing. This is the part that it gets really touching. It says, for me.
Okay.
Christine and I were standing by the back glass door, and I was pointing to the far backyard to show her Britta's burial spot. We both saw two big bugs playing about 5 feet in front of us, right in our line of vision. We both realized at the same time they were not bugs.
Oh.
They were hummingbirds.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So this is where the... So if you've heard the story of me and my dog, it involves hummingbirds. So, and I'll get back to that story, but that's why I find this so touching. And I wanted you, because you were with me that day, so I wanted you to hear this story too. I've never before since seen a hummingbird in real life. I knew that hummingbirds are a symbol of resurrection in many Aboriginal cultures. So this was a massive sign to me from the universe that Britta was alive and well, and that Jack had indeed come to take her home. Now, if this wasn't a big enough sign, there's more. I told my parents about this and explained the significance of the hummingbird and resurrection. 2 days later, my mom was down at the shore with a friend and called my dad and me, saying that Britta was definitely okay. She said she was sitting on the second floor knitting, and through the sliding glass door, she saw what she thought was a big bug flying around the outside umbrella on the deck. She stopped to inspect it closer, and at the same time, it zoomed directly to the sliding glass door, looked at her before flying away. It was, you guessed it, a hummingbird. I will say again, none of us had ever seen a hummingbird before or since. I'd love your thoughts on this. I got thoughts on this. I know it brought me a lot of peace of mind, and I want to say to those out there who have lost a pet that they will come back to give you a sign that they are all right. You just have to pay attention. Be well. I love the show. I will be writing or calling in with some stories more on the spooky side, Jenny. So for those of us that don't know the stories, so it was the morning, because I didn't, you know you're getting close to time, but you know, it's just, I could never go, okay, it's going to be this day, it's going to be that day. I didn't know. But that morning, I just woke up and I knew things were different. And so I called into work. I didn't even know if I was going to do it that day, but I was like, I'm in no condition to even go to work. So I called in and my cats, who were being very entertaining that morning, they both wanted to go outside, but they don't get to go outside unsupervised. So I'm like, okay, I'll go outside with you guys. But I had been laying on the floor with my dog and I was crying and I'm like, I need a sign. I cannot do this without a sign. And so so I sat down on the back step and maybe 3 feet away, something caught my eye and I looked up and it was a hummingbird just staring at me. Just eye height, and I'm sitting on a step, so it's down low, and it's just, I'm like, oh my God, that's a hummingbird. And then I was like, oh my God, it's staring at me. And then it was like, oh my God, that's my sign. I literally just asked for the sign 5 minutes ago. So mm-hmm. I immediately texted you and Tony, and I was like, oh my God, this just happened. I just asked for a sign. This hummingbird just flew up and was looking at me. I think that was my sign. And you and Tony mm-hmm. both, you were like, I'm getting in my car.
Yep. And I'm driving.
Yep. And Tony's like, oh my God, that's the sign. But yeah. The cool thing is that I'm kind of like Jenny. I'd seen a hummingbird out my window one day here at this house, but I'd only ever seen one once before. Buddy and I were out for a walk and I saw one when we stopped to talk to my neighbors and we were talking about hummingbirds and their hummingbird feeders. And I saw one that day. But here's the crazy part. So this summer, I think I'm up to 4 times now. It looks like the exact same hummingbird. I only ever see one and it's the same colors and everything. It's got these greens and it's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen it 4 or 5 times. It's flown up to me. It flew up to my cat Izzy one day. It got way down low on the ground and flew right up to Izzy. And then my friend Phil and I were sitting out on the back deck a week ago and it flew up again. So the thing about hummingbirds is that they do have some symbolism. And it says, when someone sees a hummingbird, it's often seen as a sign from heaven. They're often associated with joy and happiness. They can also symbolize death. If you see a hummingbird near or after someone has passed away, it may be interpreted as a sign from the deceased that they are okay.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful?
And then I've often seen, too, that it means that a departed loved one is watching over you.
And that's what it makes me feel like when I see him in my backyard, that one. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's just like the most beautiful little hummingbird. And so I bought a print on Etsy of a hummingbird that I put above my bed. And it's marked like that one that's above my bed.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh,
I know. See why I had such a hard time with that. But I had to share it with you.
But I agree with you. I think that Britta the dog, sent a sign.
I do too. And the two hummingbirds, them going, you know, oh, they're buried, you know, she's buried over here. And then they see two large bugs and it's two hummingbirds together. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Britta and Jack together.
Yeah.
Because it says too, this other thing that I read, it said, being visited by a hummingbird should give you a renewed sense of hope and faith. Finally seeing the bigger picture, knowing that all your grief is leading you towards a higher path. Mm. The hummingbird is
really
letting
pretty.
You know that everything has happened for a reason.
Mm.
So when people actually hear this story, they will not hear everything I had to edit out. How many times?
There were gaping holes in this
huge
story.
Huge pauses.
Yeah.
Huge sips of water. But But I just thought that was so beautiful that it happened to someone else, too.
Yeah.
Because it was just the weirdest thing that day. And actually, Kathy came over that day and was here. Everything happened at my house. But the thing was, is I hadn't been able to make a decision about it until that day. And mm-hmm. I know 100% that that was the day.
Yeah.
And I also know 100% that he sent a hummingbird. Because I literally said, I need a sign. I cannot do this without a sign.
Yeah.
And then within 5 minutes, and it might have even been less than 5 minutes, it was fast. Like maybe it was 2 or 3. There's a hummingbird just staring at me. I'm like, what is this?
Okay.
Okay, universe, I got it. Okay, so here's our next story. It says, my grandpa had inherited a vast farm that grew many things, including potatoes, corn, wheat, and everything in between that could make money back then in the late 1930s. One humid summer evening, my grandpa kept the farmhands late because week-long rain was supposed to be coming and they needed to get the hay bales covered so they didn't get wet and rot. They heard thunder very close, but the sky was still clear, so they kept working, getting faster and faster to beat the rain. The sky turned dark very quickly, and my grandpa was shouting to finish up and get back to the house. He started back without them and saw a flash that seemed to be lit from behind him, followed by the loudest crack of thunder that almost knocked him down. When he turned, he could see that the lightning had struck a large tree just to the side of a bale, and it was smoking and splintered. A man lay near it, and my grandpa raced over, as did the others, but it was too late. The farmhand had been struck. The sickle he was using was still in his grasp. It was a very disturbing and violent scene, which was actually covered in the region's newspaper as it was a freak accident. The man did not survive, and the tree that was struck was burned in the fall, as it was also dead. My grandparents started a family shortly after that and had four children. That kind of came out of the nowhere. I wasn't quite ready for that sentence. The area in the field where the accident happened became a thorn in my grandpa's side, as nothing would grow there. Whatever he planted would fail, so he assumed the earth could no longer allow growth. He ended up building a deer hunting shack right on the spot as a way to put the space to use. It was a very rustic shack, four walls with large windows, cutouts, and a door totaling about 10 feet by 16 feet. Untreated wood was used, and it was basically just a shelter from the elements in the winter during deer season. My mom and her sister would play in it in the summertime. It was a veritable playhouse for children. Their ages were 7 and 9. One day when they were in there, there was a knock on the door. They said, come in, but no one did. My aunt whispered to my mom that it had to be their brother and they would scare him. So the knock happened again. They held back giggles as my aunt climbed out the window and ran around to the front. My mom was in the window about to jump out when she heard my aunt say, there's no one out here. My mom looked back into the shack, and there stood a man in the corner wearing a dirty white shirt, no hair, and no eyes. She said his mouth was open. He had what she described as a hook knife in his hand, and she threw herself from the window screaming. My aunt tried to console her, but she was hysterical and was able to run without looking back to the house, where she described the entire incident to my grandma. My grandma was a strict Catholic and told her it was just her wild imagination, all the while knowing there was no way my mom could have known about the man who had been killed by lightning, or even that he had a sickle in his hand when he died, which could be described as a hook knife to someone who doesn't know the name of it. My mom wouldn't go near the shed and had nightmares for years, even after my grandpa erected a large cross near the shed. The incident wasn't spoken of again until a few years went by when my mom's uncle was in the shack with my grandpa. They had gotten there well before dawn and the snow had fallen recently, so it was prime hunting conditions. They each sat with their thermos in hand, waiting for movement. There was not a lot of action and my grandpa started to doze off. He was awoken by a knock. He told my mom's uncle to knock it off. He'd scare the deer. My grandpa was surprised to see that his brother was also asleep and shook him to wake him up. He asked if he had heard knocking, and his brother said no. Right then, there was another clear knock on the door. My grandpa opened it immediately. There was no one there and no tracks in the snow. He was annoyed until he remembered what had happened to my mom. Just then, there was a hard knock that sounded and felt as if it were made inside the shack. His brother was dumbfounded, but my grandpa knew what was happening and said out loud, "Come on, Joe, you're scaring me, and you scared Lainey out of her wits." He said after that, there was calm and nothing happened again, but he believed my mom from then on. The shack eventually rotted and fell on its own, where we had a big fire to get rid of it in the fall, about 50 years since the accident and the first fire. I do not believe in ghosts, but I can attest that when you are out there, it feels like someone is watching you. I would also consider my mom to be sensitive, as she has experienced a lot in her adult life, but I don't have the gift. That's a creepy story.
That's a really creepy
story.
That's
a creepy story. And
yeah.
And it's interesting because, of course, her parents wouldn't believe her. I mean,
well, yeah, but why wouldn't they? Because she's telling them exactly the guy who died right there.
Yeah, but
if she wouldn't have known that.
But if her grandmother was a strict Catholic, she probably was like, nope, 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 not going to hear that. That stuff doesn't happen. But after it happens then years later to the grandpa, and then he remembered that same thing happening to his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's interesting because...
Well, she couldn't have just made it up. She didn't know about it.
But, you know, I think so often that kids... she might not have even gotten the whole story out to her parents. They're like, oh, it's just your imagination. Nothing was knocking on the door. No, you didn't see anything. You know, I think so often kids are just dismissed.
True. Yeah.
But I think it's interesting with that story that would happen to your mother and your grandfather, but then... he or she, I'm not sure who wrote this in, a son or a daughter, does not, they're skeptical, you know, because I guess nothing's happened to them.
I don't believe in ghosts. And I'm like, but you believe your mom's story?
Enough to write in and let us know. And it's a great story.
So you must believe some. It's a really good story. Well, could you imagine how frightening that would be to turn around and see that guy standing there with a sickle and no eyes?
That would be the worst thing.
Oh, my God.
That would be like the zombie apocalypse kind of, like, he's going to kill me.
Yeah. Could you imagine? I just can't even imagine. Like, that would be so frightening. And she goes up and tells her mom, and her mom will believe her. Like, that's when you really need believes. That's when you need somebody to hold you and comfort you and
right.
say it's okay. And he's not going to come into the house tonight and, you know, whatever.
Well, back then, too, you know, it was a whole different time. And the mom probably, you know, had the kids and she's doing all the baking and she's helping in the fields. And she's like, I don't have time for that. Didn't happen. I got enough on my plate today. And I got to sew your school clothes.
Yeah.
Just different back then.
Oh, I'm making soap and churning butter, and I don't need you kids.
Everything. You kids, go in the other room. Oh, wait, we only have one. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it. You can call in anytime, 855-853-4802. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also get ad-free versions of the show. You'll get advanced episodes and access to the archive by becoming a premium subscriber. You can do that through Apple Podcasts, through patreon.com/realghoststories, or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.